can't produce love and fear of Hashem based on understanding. I don't understand. I can't produce love and fear of Hashem based on emotion. I don't feel it. So I can't produce. Alter Rebbe says, you don't have to produce anything new. You already have it. You already have a hidden love, which is present in the heart of all Jews. Person says, I have it. Where did I get it from? How come I don't know about it? The answer is, it's an inheritance to us from our patriarchs. We have this just because we're Jewish. And this is something that's in our DNA. Today we can use that term. And Alter Rebbe's times, they didn't know that term. But today, you know, today we say it's in our DNA. Many stuff, many things we don't know about that are part of ourselves. It's in our program. And Alter Rebbe says that this is what it is. Part of our program is a fear and a love for Hashem that is bound up pretty much, at least at first glance, in love for Hashem. We're later going to explain how the fear of Hashem comes from the love of Hashem too. But we must first preface a clear and precise explanation. So the Rebbe is going to ask four questions now. Four questions. Two of them we're going to answer in this chapter, and two of them we're going to answer in the next chapter. Between 18 and 19, we will answer these four questions. And the four questions are as follows. Number one, how did this love become our inheritance? How do you inherit love? How can you inherit an emotion? Why does that work? Number two, we want to know, how is fear also incorporated in it? We previously stated that in order for a person to properly fulfill a mitzvah, not only do you have to be motivated on the positive side, that means you want to do the mitzvah because you love Hashem, because you want to make Hashem happy, and so on and so forth, but you also, and it's very important, Alter Rebbe says, to be motivated from the negative also, and to understand that there's a guardrail, that there's things you can't do. Because when a person is motivated only by love, all of a sudden you can do lots of stuff that's no good. If you're motivated only by love, everything becomes justified in the name of love. You know, the old expression, all is fair in love and war. That's very dangerous to be motivated only by love. Then you can say, if I'm motivated only by love, I could throw out the Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law. Then you don't have to have, let's say, for example, a mechitza in the shul. You want people to come into shul. And then if you want people to fulfill this mitzvah or that mitzvah or the mitzvah, then change the mitzvah a little bit. At least they're making God happy. After all, isn't God happy when, and so on and so on and so forth, without going into all of the gory details. So this is what happens. If a person is motivated only by love of Hashem, then you can make a lot of mistakes, do a lot of things that Hashem is actually not happy with. You must at the same time have a fear of Hashem. You must at the same time recognize that there are boundaries, there are guardrails, there are things that you cannot do, and that Hashem is not going to be happy with. So you must have both of them to properly fulfill the mitzvahs. So therefore, if we're saying now that the Jew has naturally a love for Hashem, but the fear of Hashem is not naturally something that we possess, then we're back to the original question. Okay, how do you produce the fear? Alter Rebbe says, therefore, you must say that this natural love of Hashem that we possess just because we were born as Jews must also contain within itself a fear and a certain sense of awe that is part and parcel of this love for Hashem that we naturally have. How does that work? That's our second question. Alter Rebbe begins to explain these two questions. And we previously asked the other two questions is, what is the origin of this love? Which level of the soul does it come from? What is its character? What is its character? What does this love want? Every love is an expression of desire. Desire, by its very meaning of the word, means you want something. What do you want? If you're in a relationship, you want to be close to the individual with whom you're having that relationship. If you, and then you define what close means for you. For one person, it might mean one thing. For another person, it might mean something else. So we want to know, what does this love? Does this love that is natural, innate, part of every Jew's psyche and makeup, every Jew's Jewish DNA, does it want the same thing that the love that is produced through meditation, contemplation, study, does it want the same thing? Or is it more selfish? Or is it less selfish? What is it? So we're asking all these questions and we're going to explain them. So the explanation is as follows. How do you get love. How does love, what is the source of the love and what does it want? And the answer is, our patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were a chariot to Hashem. That means that they, through their service, through their work, through their own self-refinement, and also they were granted, admittedly, very, very great neshamas, very great souls. They began with amazing power plants. Like saying a person has incredible, amazing artistic talent, incredible, amazing strength, physical strength, and then they built themselves up to become like the best weightlifter in the world, or the most, you know, sought after artist in the world. So the avos, the patriarchs, yes, they started with amazing neshamas, amazing souls, but they used their souls in the proper way, and they built themselves up, and they became completely subservient to Hashem. They had no other will but the divine will, just as a chariot, today we would say a car, has no other will of its own. And therefore, Hashem gave them, God gave them a gift. Hashem can do anything. Hashem gave them a present. And the present that Hashem gave them is that each of their children, till the end of time, is going to have this energy flow. This energy flow that makes us feel close to Hashem. They merited the privilege of drawing down a nefesh, ruach, and neshama from the 10 holy sefirot, or the four worlds of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya. I'm not going to start explaining again the four worlds, but just very briefly, because we did speak about this a few times already, very briefly, when Hashem created the world, the Zohar explains to us that Hashem took his energy, contracted it so that there should be able to be a sense of feeling of separateness, a sense of feeling of an entity that feels itself as existing. And Hashem took that energy and further contracted it and contracted it and contracted it in different ways a little bit. And we call that the four worlds. In other words, there are four stages by which Hashem further contracted his energy, and each of those stages produce certain things, certain creations, and the creations in each of those worlds have different levels of understanding and attachment to Hashem based on where they are, as is understandable. If you are in a world where the spiritual energy is much more palpable, much more revealed, much more powerful, then the entity that comes and is created in that world is feels much closer to Hashem. If you are in a world that feels itself and where the energy already is covered up yet more so, then you feel farther from Hashem. And as a general matter, in the world of Atzilus, it's so close, so to speak, the energy is so powerfully felt that nothing exists in the world of Atzilus itself that feels itself as distinct. In the world of Bria, the next world, the world of Yetzirah, we have the angels. And in the world of Asiya, we have our physical world. That energy is already contracted enough for there to be a world that feels itself as if it can actually run itself, which is our physical world. So these four worlds of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, each of these worlds, there's an energy that flows through them from Atzilus down to Asiya. It's a pipeline that is continually contracted. You want to think of a power plant that's producing electricity. And then as it goes to different stages, it's transformed and it's stepped down from a certain amount of volts to less, to less, to less, until when it comes into our house, it's able to be only 220 or 110 or whatever it is. Whereas in the power plant, it's millions of volts of electricity, which is not usable for us. It blows up anything that you attach to it. And the same is true of Hashem's spiritual energy, which as it comes down through the four worlds, the spiritual energy is contracted, 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 until finally it can produce something that can feel itself as separate, can feel itself as self-sustaining, which is what Hashem wants. Why does Hashem want that? Because then you have the ability to have freedom of choice, whole other discussion. At any rate, therefore, they merited the privilege of drawing down nefesh, ruach, and neshama, which are we explained also previously, the three of the five levels of the soul that are residing inside of our body, that are connected to our body. And where does the nefesh, ruach, and neshama, meaning our soul powers, our neshama, our soul powers, where does it come from? It comes from the energy that is being passing through, that is passing through the four major steps, major worlds, major levels called Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, Asiyah. So that's what it is. As we study more and more, you'll become more comfortable with these terms. So this is what it is, just important to know at least the basic for right now. So at any rate, the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because of their service and because of their own powerful neshamas and the service they were able to do, they merited that Hashem gave them a present. And the present was that each of their children forever and ever and ever will have some of this amazing spiritual energy that automatically gives us love of Hashem. Even the most unworthy, the most sinful Jew can draw down by the marital union and nefesh from the level of nefesh of Malchus Tasiyah, which is the last of the level of the four worlds. That is to say, the lowest level of holiness, the world of Asiyah, the lowest of the four worlds. But the Alter Rebbe says, when we're talking about energy that's, so to speak, contracted, comes from the higher level of energy, which comes from another higher level. It's like saying, again, electricity. Electricity, which is coming in our house, is the same exact electricity. And again, this is, you know, as we come closer to Mashiach's times, we have many, many new ways of understanding these spiritual concepts that the generations before us did not have. Alter Rebbe's times, they couldn't talk about electricity. So this is the idea to talk about light. They did talk about other. There are other analogies, but electricity, I think, is a wonderful analogy, because we can clearly understand that the electricity that's in our house is exactly the same electricity that's being produced in the power plant, except that it's much, much, much less intense. You know, much fewer volts. Volts is a measure of how powerful electricity is. So there's much fewer volts of electricity. Is it not electricity? No, it's exactly the same thing. It's somehow, some way, we have discovered abilities to harness this power and so on, which is a gift, obviously, that Hashem has given us. But this is similar to what we're talking about over here. I think it's probably one of the closest analogies that we can discuss. And so now we're saying that even a person who is seemingly the most unworthy, the most sinful person, I say seemingly because we believe that even the most unworthy Jew is full of mitzvahs, but still can produce neshamas that are just as electrified and just as connected as any other neshama. They're all part of the same branch, all part of the same circuit, all part of the same line of power, except that it doesn't appear to be as shining as brightly, but the energy that powers it is the same energy. And that's a very big difference, and a very important thing to understand. And again, something that we can understand today based on our current discoveries. And that is that how brightly you shine is not the same as what you're powered by. You could be powered by the same electricity, and then you don't shine so brightly for some reason. Maybe the lens is dirty. Maybe the bulb is not as powerful as it needs to be. Maybe the connection is not as strong as it needs to be. But the juice, the power, is the same pure, unadulterated electrical energy as any other thing that's shining more brightly. So, you know, a lot of wonderful analogies. At any rate, what we're saying is that the neshamas are all connected to each other, and they're all connected to the tree, to the pipeline of energy that Hashem put into the world. Which really was broken down into these four major stages, which we call the four worlds. And the energy that we have is given to us in the merit of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of our patriarchs and our matriarchs, who were both teams, obviously, and we're all teams. And we have, therefore, this gift, which is a natural love of Hashem that a Jew has, the non-Jewish world does not have. The Jewish world does have, and we're going to discuss later some proofs for that. And the love, however, is a natural love, and it's given to us as an inheritance. So that's the short answer to the long question is plain and simple, just like a parent can give all kinds of other stuff to their kids, our parents gave it to us. Who are our parents? Ultimately, it's Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, all the way back to the first generation. What that means is every single Jew, without distinction, has this connection, without distinction, has this feeling, without distinction, has this emotion, already in our toolbox, already inside of ourselves. And the Alter Rebbe now explains in language of Kabbalah that in the Chachma, Malchus of Atzilus, all of the Sevira, all the levels are connected to each other, and ultimately, therefore, they're all connected to the ultimate level, which is the Ein Sof. Ein Sof means the ultimate level of Hashem's unlimited amount of energy. And the proof is that Alter Rebbe quotes verses to prove this concept. Thus, we see that the light of the blessed Ein Sof is garbed in the faculty of wisdom in the human soul. Faculty of wisdom, again, is Chachma, this level of Chachma that we spoke about, which is every neshama has this first level of the 10 Sefirot called Chachma. And as the parenthesis says, further on in this chapter, we're going to explain why is it that Chachma is the one that's able to receive the illumination of the Ein Sof. I'll give you a little hint. It's because of what I spoke earlier, this concept of humility, the ability to receive, is when a person is truly wise, then you know that other people are smart and other people are able to give you stuff. And a person who's not truly wise and just has a lot of knowledge and information floating around in their head, but doesn't have real wisdom, thinks that they know it all. So therefore, another poetic reason that the first level is called Chachma is because a truly wise person actually is very humble. The more wise you are, the more humble you are. The more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know. And when you don't know, then you think that you do know. The really, really great professors, scientists, and so on and so forth are really, at their core, extremely humble. Or at least they should be. If they're really great scientists. In turn, the soul's faculty of wisdom, together with the light of the blessed Ein Sof, is garbing it, suffuses it, shoots through, it completely saturates all the levels of the soul from head to foot. Because again, this is electricity. It goes from all the levels. It flows everywhere. So therefore, the neshama is, Alter Rebbe is, just to restate what we're saying over here, Alter Rebbe is explaining to us that the love of Hashem that we say that we have as a natural state, as a natural gift, and we say, how could that be? This person doesn't seem to be exactly the most holy Jew or the best Jew in the world. And we say that doesn't have any impact on the energy that's powering them. It's not being put to the best purpose, best use, but the energy that's inside themselves is connected to the whole branch, the whole tree of energy that's flowing in the whole system. And once you're plugged in, that's it. You're plugged in. You're connected to the power plant. It doesn't matter if you have a 1-watt bulb. You're still connected to the power plant. You may not be that 1,000,000-watt bulb that the guy next to you is, but you're still connected to the same exact power plant. The same energy is flowing through your wires as it's flowing through that guy's wires. So this is what the Alter Rebbe is explaining to us. And as a matter of fact, Alter Rebbe says in parentheses, at times, the sinners may have neshamas that they produce that are actually greater than the tzaddik that's next to them. The kid of the tzaddik might not be as great as the kid of the person who seems to be the most wicked Jew, because the Alter Rebbe says, how could this be and why should this be? Alter Rebbe says, why should they deserve such a thing? Well, because this is a soul that has fallen captive in the hands of Klipa. This is a soul that has done